You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
I need to plug in my phone, actually, and they just locked me out on the roof.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit in the shop for
wanna,
a second.
Do you want to shut down and restart?
No, I'll just plug my phone
in.
It's
okay.
Yeah, I got locked out.
Jeez, what are you doing?
Hold on, give me a second here. Sorry, Blake.
But you're
like
good.
Tapping on like an amp or something.
Oh, no.
That was you. All right, great.
Yeah.
Tell everybody hi. I say
yeah,
hi.
Blake from the Tone Mob says hi.
Blake from who?
No, Blake from the Tone Mob says hi. I'm doing a podcast right now. What the heck is this? People stealing my stuff.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of the ToneMob.com podcast, the show about guitar tone and the people behind it. As you know, I'm your host, Blake Weiland, and with me today, I have Christian Turgeson from Adventure Audio.
Hey, hey.
What up, bro?
Not too much. I'm hanging out on the roof of the studio I work at.
It's not a bad deal.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's great. Wicked Squid Studios in Rochester, New York. I had to plug it quick. You know, they would get mad at me listening to the podcast and me not plugging it. But, yeah, dude, it's super nice here today. I mean, this is the first day. Well, it feels like spring is coming. It was like 55 today, which is warm for up here.
That's really warm for up here.
Yeah.
Up here, like I'm there.
Yeah.
Up there.
We're in the same room, quote unquote. So we're in the same city.
Like today it was all right. Like it started out just fine. Like almost like what you're describing, like kind of like 50-ish, high 40s, and then it just started raining and winter returned. It was a bummer.
Yeah, dude, it's like a little taste of spring, and then it's like, no, actually, forget that.
Yeah, like, oh, you can't have it.
Yeah.
Take it away. Bye-bye.
Yeah, right? Oh, man, that's a bummer, dude.
So, speaking of bummers, I know you had a little bit of a bummer happen recently, and I'm hoping you're going to tell me that it's been resolved.
Yeah, it has been resolved. Well, the situation was I had a bunch of enclosures stolen off my back porch. Yeah. So that was a huge bummer. I actually was out of town, and I signed for the package the night before, and I knew two of my friends were coming by my house to grab some gear for shows they had on the weekend. And I was like, and I said to both of them, I was like, yo, if you see a package on the back porch, just bring it inside and lock the door and whatever. And both of them said that they didn't see the package, and I was kind of like, oh, dude. So,
yeah,
I came home, and it wasn't there. My neighbor didn't have it, so I filed a claim, and I worked it all out with the enclosure manufacturer. So we're all right, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool that they were willing to work with you, but, like,
yeah.
What is somebody going to do? Like, is there a rival pedal manufacturer in your neighborhood? They're like, I'm going to get those adventure closures. So he's delayed on his release. Mine will be.
Oh, man. I hope there's not. I hope no one's out for me. I mean, I've had some weird stuff happen at my house the last month. I don't know if it's, like, appropriate to talk about. But there's been some unmentionables left in my backyard.
Where
I was like, who is back here? Like, who is, you know, fooling around back here?
That's weird.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It's kind of a strange neighborhood.
I guess. Is it in the same neighborhood as the studio, or are you
separate?
The
studio's in a much worse neighborhood. There was actually, like, a shooting last week
of
some people, like, died in a bar. No, it's all good. I mean, Rochester,
New York. I don't mean
to
laugh at the bad neighborhood, but
dude, it's a dangerous city for sure.
Really? Like,
yeah.
I picture this like nice, you know, East Coast town when I picture Rochester, but I really don't know.
Yeah.
That's just what I imagine.
Well, it is kind of like that. Where I live, it's like how you're describing. Like, I want to say, like, if I was going to, like, assign certain boroughs of New York City to Rochester, my neighborhood would be, like, Brooklyn, you know, like, young 20-year-old hipster skateboarder kids and, like, cool bars and everything. And then, like, I don't know, I guess where the shop is like, Harlem or, like, you know, like, the wrong side of Queens or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I hear people talk about this stuff, and it's somewhat hard for me to relate to because Portland kind of used to have bad neighborhoods, and now there's, like, slightly bad sections of Portland.
Yeah.
And now, but the most of it is just migrated out of Portland. Like, the meth houses and everything are kind of, I mean, yeah. I'm sure there's still some floating around, but.
Right. Way to go, Portland PD. That's rad.
I don't know if it's the police department or the hipsters, honestly.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I've never been to Portland. I'm trying to go at some point, but I'm glad that you're telling me it's a little nicer.
It's pretty safe. Like, I've never, like, I mean, when I was a kid, I remember driving around and it's like, ooh, this is kind of a frightening neighborhood.
Yeah.
But in my opinion, like, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's still bad places, but most of it's migrated out, you know, out east, like far east of Portland. So, yeah, you can pretty much wander around at your leisure. You're going to be fine.
Oh, that's good. That's what I like to feel Rochester is, but, like, you shouldn't wander around on your own at night.
I need to be careful when I go to places.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
I get too comfortable.
Right. I mean, I feel comfortable here, but at the same time, I'm looking over my shoulder, you know, and I'm not walking with my phone at nighttime, you know, just, like, stumbling around.
Right. Your head's on a swivel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Welcome to the Bad Neighborhood Podcast, where we talk about how scary it is to live wherever we live.
Yeah. Right? Well, I guess if you want cheap rent, you know, you're going to live somewhere not too safe.
That's true. I mean, yeah. if you want to be in the nice hood, you got to pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I just said hood like I'm so, it's like gangster.
I mean,
like,
it's unbelievable. It's an abbreviation for neighborhood, so.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
I'm like the whitest, pastiest
nice
dude on the planet.
Yeah. Dude, you can use lingo. What's stopping you from using cool lingo?
Man, I grew up on the hard streets of Oregon City. You know, I was surrounded by, like, kids on bicycles and puppies.
Oh,
it was rough,
man dude.
Because
yeah,
I didn't have a puppy.
Rough. Yeah, dude. Oh, man. Your mom made brownies every week type of thing.
Yeah, she made brownies. We got to have as much Kool-Aid as we wanted. Eggo waffles galore.
Oh, yes, you know? Dude. I haven't had an Eggo waffle in a minute.
I haven't either. That sounds really good.
Yeah, maybe sometime soon. We'll see what happens.
There's a good chance that I'm going to be having Eggo waffles this weekend just because of this conversation.
Yes, dude. I'm probably going to go get some too. There actually might be some at the studio now that I think about it.
I'm going to text you some pictures of when I'm eating the Eggo waffles.
Yeah. Yes,
I'd like
dude.
To say I'm going to post
Please.
Them on Instagram, but I think people might get like weirded out by it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, after the podcast comes out, then we can do some, like, hashtag waffle thing.
Yeah, we'll do it. We're totally going to do that.
All right, word. I'm into that.
Yes, it's so good.
Yeah, dude.
All right, let's try to kick this back on track.
All right.
So
yeah.
I'll ask you the classic question, which
cool.
I always start with, and it usually leads somewhere weird, but what is your music, if I could talk, what is your musical backstory and kind of how did it get you to Running Adventure and doing what you're doing today with the studio?
Right. Okay. So my musical backstory would have to start probably when I was like 14. Before that, I was like playing different sports and like couldn't really get into one sport. Like, I was playing hockey and football and soccer and everything, and I was kind of like, sports are dumb. And then my aunt gave me a couple of her old punk CDs. She was like a punk in the 90s, So she gave me like some Rancid and Degeneration and like early Green Day and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so then once I heard those, I was like, yeah, I need to get an electric guitar and I need to start like, you know, playing some punk music with my friends. So we started a punk rock band in eighth grade. And then I started recording that band when I was 14. And I got really into recording, actually. It's also why I work at a studio. And I got my my undergrad in recording. But anyhow, since then, I've just been like in and out of bands, mostly punk-influenced pop-punk bands. And then talking about bad neighborhoods, I don't know if you can hear the
sirens. I was
going to
say, are you getting arrested right now? What did you do?
It's a bunch of ambulances going by.
They're not going to find that body that you stashed earlier, are they?
No, they won't find it.
That one's long gone by now.
Yeah. Just like my enclosures are long gone.
Said you got your enclosure thing worked out. I see how you worked it out. You found the guy.
No, I hired a hitman. I found the guy. Beat him up. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't beat up a fly, man.
you hired a hitman from the Tone Mob to go
get... Oh, yeah, dude. That's what I did. That's great.
That's just one of the services I provide.
Yeah. So for future listeners, Blake, he knows some guys you don't want to mess with.
I know a couple of guys who will track down your missing op amps.
Yeah.
All right.
When I graduated college, I moved to Philly and started working at this studio as an intern. And I was just having a hard time paying rent and stuff. And so I was like looking for a job at like Chipotle or like, you know, some burger place or whatever. And no one hired me. So I was kind of like, I need to pay rent somehow. So I started selling some of my gear, which I was like disappointed about, but I was like, whatever. And I sold a couple pedals and this sort of trend started to happen where I was like, wait a minute, I could maybe like build pedals and sell them. So then I started making pedals and then selling them online. And I was like, this is great. This is paying my rent and I can just hang out and do whatever. And, 3 years go by and now I'm doing adventure and it's doing the same thing.
That's awesome. You can just hang out, make pedals, record music. You're doing it, man.
Yeah. It's making pedals is fun, but I have a way more fun time like modding studio gear, like preamps and like microphones and compressors and stuff like that.
That's good stuff too. Like you did name your company Adventure Audio. Maybe you could go that direction.
It's a big adventure. It's a big audio adventure.
I like it. That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
Do you see yourself, because you say you really enjoy the studio stuff, could you see yourself like making studio preamps or something down the road?
Oh yeah, totally. Actually, later this year I'll be doing a preamp. I don't know if I'm gonna do it with Adventure or like another signature thing, because it's kind of like a hired build, you know, or someone's like contracting me to build it.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, but yeah, I would definitely like to go the 500 series route at least by the end of the year.
Well, that would be sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw JHS put out like 6 500 series things, and I was like, what the heck is going on here?
That was my idea.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of was my idea, but I don't want to say that.
Right. Know. No, I got it. I mean, it's hard. When it's a good idea like that, it's like somebody's, you know somebody else has thought of it at one time.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody did it yet, so...
Yeah.
That's interesting that you were talking about that, because I was talking about that with Rick Matthews on an episode we recorded a couple weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was kind of grilling him about what he thought. He wasn't planning on doing any rat gear, but I was grilling him on his theories about the industry, and I might as well do the same to you. Do you see Rack Gear 500 series, Euro Rack, or just standard Rack Gear having kind of a resurgence? Like, do you think it's going to go back to the 80s where we have all these massive racks? Or what do you think for like touring guitarists and whatever?
I don't know, actually. Rack Gear just seems like a pain to lug around, you know? The whole thing with 500 series is that they're just modules, like tiny things that you can plug into a rack, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I like the aesthetic of Rack Gear and, like, you know, vintage 1176 compressors and, like, you know, giant Fairchild compressors and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know. I don't think it's going to go back to racks, honestly.
The pedal board craze will continue, in your opinion.
Yeah.
I could see that happening. I think that's most likely. I do think that Rack Gear is going to have a little bit more of a place in a normal quote unquote guitar player's arsenal. I could see that happening. Just based on like some of these huge pedal boards aren't really any more convenient than a large rack.
Yeah, it's kind of like a modular synth thing at that point. If you had everything in a rack and you had like a patch bay on it, it's like, what? How is that any different than a modular synth setup? You know?
Right. It's not really.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like the point. I guess why pedals are. Our pedal boards are like, you know, a huge thing is because of the stomp switch, really. It's like made for the foot.
Yep.
Yeah. So you'd need some sort of like controller or like, you know, patch or like looper thing if you were going to have like a rack behind you.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like thinking about like Nels Klein and how he has his little table of pedals that he works on, you know, during the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking that how nice that would be for sometimes I like to get noisy and start making a lot of racket usually with delays or something weird.
Right.
I was like, man, a little pedal table would be really fun.
Yeah, dude. That would be really fun, actually.
I think I've been trying to think of some sort of setup to make it easier for me to start doing some more demo stuff. So there may be a pedal table in my future. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I do the, you know, shows for, or like NAMM and stuff like that, it's usually on a table. I like the pedal boards on a table. It's just easier to like access stuff. But you know, it's silly when you put like a volume pedal on there, on that board.
Like, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like it's, you know, half of it's made for your foot. So it just seems like redundant and weird.
It is kind of strange.
Yeah.
Will we ever be happy? Will we ever just be content with the wide world of effects that we have available?
Well, I could go one of two ways with that. I could say like no and be the pessimist, glass half empty type of thing. Like we'll never be happy with anything, blah, blah, blah. Or I could be like, yeah, you know, we could be happy with what we have.
You don't want people to be happy with what you have. You're trying to sell pedals.
Yeah, but
you're supposed to say no,
time.
No. Everyone needs all adventure stuff all the time.
Well, nah, dude, I don't want that. I like the big like community boards and stuff. And you know, if someone makes something better than me, then it's like get that thing. That's what that like is looks way more fun than mine.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
well, that's very nice of you.
Yeah, I have a place. Everyone has their own place in the pedal community. You know, you find your thing that you make really well, and then you just do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. That's very, very diplomatic of you.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to my mom about socialism the other day, and I was like, I'm not a socialist, but, like, I do kind of agree with Bernie Sanders. He just seems to have if I could even talk about it.
Right.
He seems to have a better financial plan in place with, you know, lifting the ban on marijuana, the federal ban, and like applying those or that revenue towards schools and healthcare and stuff. The taxes won't go up that much. It's like
right.
A brand new revenue stream, and it'll keep people out of jail for like, you know, a kid on the street smoking a joint type of thing.
Right.
Just seems a better plan.
I don't know how much I can say I support really any of the candidates, to be honest, because I'm pretty pessimistic politically, but I do like that idea. And just from a, you know, I'm a pretty conservative dude by and large, but that's one thing I've always found a little bit silly. And we could be benefiting from it as a country. Well, I said we were not going to talk about politics. What are we doing?
Okay. So it ends here.
We both agree that's a decent idea.
And yeah. That's good. Well, yeah. Well, you said the word diplomatic, and I was like, okay, now we're talking about politics.
I shouldn't bring up diplomats. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's all good.
Oh. I got to be honest. I think that particular topic has come up before, but I don't know that like we really started, you know, getting dipping our toe a little bit further. We were almost ankle deep.
Right. Oh yeah, dude. We almost were in there, but no. We need to talk about pedals now. Forget politics.
Right. I mean, come on. This is a pedal podcast that talks about pizza, not a pedal podcast that talks about politics.
Yeah, right? Pizza and pedals. That's what we need.
That's the world needs. Yeah, if we had more of a both, everyone would be happier, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I would be so happy.
All right, let's do a little more. Let's talk about you. What was the first pedal that you made as an adventure, or just kind of what was the first one you started selling?
The first one I started selling was called the Siamese Growler, and that was a sort of like a medium overdrive and a boost, like independent of each other. So you could have a boost if you wanted, or an overdrive if you wanted.
Right.
And I'm actually in the process of revamping that pedal, as I discontinued it maybe like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
But it's coming back as the Glacial Zenith.
I don't know which name I like better.
Yeah,
those are both cool good.
I try to name them, you know, appropriately, I guess, or like try and entice people to be like, oh, that sounds cool. It's got to like make cool sounds, you know?
Right. That does sound cool. Glacial Zenith. That's like, that's deep, man.
Yeah. The guy I share the tech shop with, he's also a recording tech here. He's really good with words. So I'm like, yo, I need something that means like the top of something. And he'll just be like, how about Zenith? And I was like, done.
Perfect.
Yeah.
And Glacial just sounds awesome.
Yeah. I was talking to, I don't even know how to say this guy's name. The guy from Pedal Projects.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm butchering your name, dude.
I couldn't do any better. I always grill people on what their names are before they come on the show.
Yeah. he just came out with something called a Glacial Chorus. And I was like, dude, I don't want to step on your toes. Like, I had that idea before you came out with it or heard it. And he was like, oh, no problem. It's like not even the same pedal. I was like, all right, cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think there'd be too much confusion there.
Yeah.
Cool, man. So, do you have any particular circuits that you would say are your favorite of yours or somebody else's, just kind of from a a circuit design standpoint?
Maybe, well, I've been messing around a lot with the FV1 the last year, and it just seems like a template that I could like upload code to, that it could be any pedal really that I wanted it to be.
Right,
and because I've studied that pedal so intensely in the last year, I know like the ins and outs and like what to change to make it sound like this and blah blah blah. Most of it's digital, but just that circuit in general has amazed me.
Nice. So, how do you find it reacts to? How do you find that the digital aspects of that FV1 platform react to the analog things like preamp parts and stuff to the various reverbs or delays or whatever? That's what a lot of people use it for. So that's why I said it, but
right. So you're saying like, how does it compare to analog reverbs and delays?
No, not so much that, but like, say you make
a reverb, and it has a, some people design them with a, you know, like a preamp section in the, that pedal, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Does it really change the sound of the digital part of it that much, or is it more just like just boosting signal?
Yeah, well, it depends how far you boost the signal, really. It's like, you know, if you have a preamp that's way too hot and then you're overloading the chip input,
mm-hmm.
then it's sort of like it's going to clip going in, and then it's going to sound either really cool or like garbage coming out, you know.
Now I'm kind of excited to see what that would do with like something that's a classic circuit that it, or not yeah. classic circuit, but classic algorithm that everybody kind of knows.
Right.
Like, I'd be interested to hear what a supermoon sounded like if you slammed it with something. Well, I guess I could try that at home, couldn't I?
Yeah.
I could try. I've never purposely tried to make a reverb clip before.
Right. Well, I'm sure he has some sort of limiting thing going into it.
Well, that's true. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I guess you'd have to really be designing it. And, well, I don't know. I wouldn't do it on purpose to like overload the chip, because then you could just overload it afterwards, or like when it comes out, and then you can put distortion on it or whatever. It makes more sense.
I see. Yeah. See, this is why you make pedals and I talk about nonsense.
Yeah. You don't talk about nonsense, but like, you know, we can talk the same language sometimes.
Sometimes. I know just enough to be super dangerous, and that's about the extent of it.
Dude, honestly, that's where the great ideas come from, is like guys like you, where, you know, you're like, what if we made something like this or like this? And like immediately I would be like, no, that doesn't make sense to do it. But then it kind of makes me be like, what if though? You know, what if it could be this way?
I have an idea, and I talked with Tom Kogut from Tomcat about it.
I heard that podcast that you guys were talking about the idea, but then you were like, after the podcast.
We'll yeah, talk. We did talk about it after, and he's like, that's really cool. I'm doing something else though. And I was like, that's even cooler. So
word. Yeah. Did you guys talk about his reverb delay thing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know about that. Me and Tom text sometimes back and forth about stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. Excited to see that thing come out. It's going to be cool,
dude.
And I really like the name. Now I forgot what it was. Hold on. My brain failed. I can't remember what it was called, but it was really cool.
Too.
The Daydreamer.
Oh yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. That's a rad name. I don't even know if I even knew the name to begin with. Maybe, I don't know.
I think he posted about it by now. He's gonna be so mad at you. He's never gonna talk to you again.
No, I hope not. I send him memes all the time. So,
oh, perfect.
Yeah, I sent you a meme the other day.
Yeah, we did. I think it was involving Bernie Sanders again.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, dude, I'm a meme guy. You know,
are you?
I like
memes.
If you want to get on my good side, send me some memes. On my Instagram,
everyone.
It says send me some cat memes, but that's, you know, that's a little specific. Send me whatever memes.
Just, all right, everyone, if you need to email Christian all of your best memes to get on his good side.
Oh, please. You'll go through my Instagram and, like, you know, more than a select amount of them are memes. Just meme posts.
I like
to reblog. Yeah, dude.
There's people who make careers out of that these days.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens, but that's cool.
I don't either. Seems like a really like, I don't know. Seems like a really odd way to go about things.
Yeah,
but hey, whatever.
Yeah, from a serious like promotional standpoint, I'll post memes on my Instagram and get like a crazy amount of likes and tags, and it just brings people to my Instagram.
Right.
You know, it's crazy how it happens.
I agree. I've tried to kind of the same thing. I do keep them guitar related most of the time. That's why I've only done one. One of them was like, or excuse me, only done like one or two. I don't remember how many there actually are, but
yeah.
One of them was like Jimi Hendrix crying because Lil Wayne had picked up a guitar. And,
that sounds good.
Everyone, Yeah, everyone got a pretty big kick out of that. I might have to repost that one again.
Yeah, it did.
Like months ago.
I did. I saw this Jimi Hendrix meme that was like something along the lines of like, how did he get that tone? And someone photoshopped like a Line 6 amp. No. Into it. And it was like, I was like, oh, that's great. I mean, like, guitar memes like that are hilarious to me.
I agree. It's good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, speaking of tone, because that's what we're about here.
Yeah,
I'm, or totally. So I misled people to believe.
Yeah.
Do you have any like tonal heroes or things that you shoot for, things that have inspired you, etc.?
I could talk about some of my favorite amps.
So
I guess maybe was it 2 years ago? It might have been 2.5 years ago when I lived in Philly. I met this guy, Andrew Wilson, who's now like one of my best friends. He runs Camel Tone Electronics.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and he introduced me to the Fender Champ. I just like went out to his house in South Jersey, and we just like hung out and played guitar and drank coffee and whatever. And he had this little 70s Champ, and I was like, whoa, dude, this thing, it sounds amazing. You know, you crank it at like maybe like 80% or whatever, maybe like 2 or 3 o'clock, and it's just like, oh, dude. That thing inspired me to like, you know, I guess like find that feeling again. But I built a Champ clone actually a couple years ago. I fell in love with it so much.
Nice.
Yeah. So I have that one. And recently I've been all about the Jazz Chorus amps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Dude, I love just it. It's like weirdly clean. Like it takes pedals like amazing. It's sort of like a high def TV. I mean, it's not great for everything, but you know, if you want that like glisteny top end and like shimmer reverb, like really sharp decay or really sharp delay type of notes, Jazz Choruses are what's up for that.
I've been eyeballing those for a while, and I've plugged into them a couple times and going like, I really like this. Is this something that I would use? And I always kind of invariably come back to, I don't know.
Right.
Because I whenever I'm playing with amps, I kind of just, except with the exception of the Jazz Chorus, I can usually tell if it's going to be something that's going to work for me with my pedals that I like to use. Like just give me a Tube Screamer to try into it, and I'll probably know if I'm gonna use it or not.
Right, right.
Except I don't really, ironically, I don't really play with a Tube Screamer. I just know what that sounds like and how it reacts.
It's like your reference point.
Yeah. So yeah. I kind of plugged into that with a Tube Screamer and played with it for a while. I was like, man, I really like the clean by itself. I don't know about the rest of my gear. It was like one that kind of left me questioning, and I didn't end up bringing it home. So now you've really piqued my curiosity again.
I gotcha. Well, I don't run too much distortion into it. It's really just like for an ambient type of thing. The thing with amps for me is I'll pick up broken amps at like pawn shops and stuff and fix them for me, and then people at the studio can use them. So it's like I'm not out too much money, you know, it doesn't hurt my wallet. And then I just spend some time figuring out what's wrong and fixing it. And then I have this awesome Jazz Chorus. I actually picked one up at a pawn shop like 6 months ago, and it's broken.
And you're going like, to bring it back to life.
Yeah. It's actually sitting right here. I'm in the tech shop now, but yeah, I got to figure it out.
That's rad, man.
Yeah.
Now I'm gonna be trying to track one of those down to play it again.
Yeah.
This was a couple of years ago, so very interesting.
Yeah, you should. Dude, this one makes this crazy like dubstep-y like sound. There's something weird with the clock signal of the chorus chips that it's like getting into the signal path. I don't know what's going on, but I posted it on Instagram, and Juan from Pedals and Effects tagged Nick, and he was like, yo, you should get this. And I was like, this isn't a normal thing that happens with the Jazz Chorus. It's like, it's obviously broken.
That guy seems to really like some broken sounds. So, I mean, which I can fully get on board with. So that might work for him.
Yeah, those guys, they have some awesome videos.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. I'm actually going to send a whatever about to them at the end of the month.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hanging out with them in L.A. for a little bit when I was there for NAMM or like Anaheim or wherever we were. I don't know.
You know, somewhere on the West Coast in California, wherever it is.
Yeah. It was wherever.
Yeah, I watched him do some crazy things over at, you know, I can't remember what they call themselves now. The Guild of Cannabis Effects. I didn't say that right, but he was over there and he had like all their stuff, basically.
Dude, I was there too.
Were you standing there when he was doing that?
The Nick Reinhardt demo?
The one I watched Nick do it, and then Juan came like right behind him. I think Nick was actually the one doing it. Now I can't remember, but I know Juan came up because I remember what he looked like. So,
yeah, I watched the one with Nick. That was rad.
He was doing things. Oh yeah, was that the one where he had that crazy painted up DL4?
Yeah. I was just about to say that actually.
I don't know what the hell that was going on with that thing, but wow, that was some good stuff.
Yeah, dude. I have a DL4 that I fixed for a customer last week, and it's just been kind of sitting on the shelf here, but maybe I'll break it out tonight and, you know, have some fun.
There you go. I don't have a DL4, and I kind of find that odd.
Yeah, well, they're all right. It's nothing to really write home about.
I don't know. Some guys seem to love them. I've played them before, and I kind of had the same feeling what you just said, but some guys really do magical things with them.
Right.
So,
I feel like it might be a generational thing. Like when they came out, it was, you know, the coolest thing around. But now, I feel like, you know, get a different delay, and like a Ditto X2 or something, and rock with that. You don't need a whole DL4 setup.
Well, that's true. You now that you mention it, I do have a couple things that could probably fill the gap. I just haven't tried them out that way.
Right.
Interesting. So do you have a favorite pedal then, since we're talking about cool things?
Yeah, dude, it changes all the time. Let's see. My favorite pedal as of recently, I would be cheating if I said I picked up this 80s Washburn Chorus the other day. Just at like the local shop here. It was like $20. And I was like, yeah, why not? I was there picking up tubes for this guy's amp. And that thing is just really cool. But it'll change again in 2 weeks or, you know, whatever it is. I really like everything that Joel makes from Chase Bliss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes some really cool stuff. I really liked his new delay. I heard it at NAMM. That thing was rad, dude.
Yeah, the Tonal Recall. That thing was awesome.
Yeah.
I loved it. I was just talking to him about it the other day, and he was like, oh, thanks, man. That's really great to hear. I'm like, come on. You hear it all the time.
Yeah.
Everyone knows you're a mad genius. Stop being so humble and such a nice dude.
Right.
Making me feel like a scumbag.
He's crazy nice. I like that dude. We got a running joke with hashtag vibes. I had to say it. You know.
Hashtag vibes. Yeah. I like it. Good vibes.
Yeah, good vibes, dude.
Love it, man.
Yeah.
It's kind of what the general feeling of the industry as a whole is good vibes. So
Yeah, it's great. I was explaining this to someone the other day, how the pedal community is kind of about camaraderie. It's very rare that you would see some sort of disgusting rivalry thing happen. You know, everybody's kind of like helping each other up to the top.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's what I see, at least. I don't know about other guys.
That seems to be the general consensus. I mean, obviously, there can't be, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people all in the same industry and not have one,
right,
like, jerk face, to put it nicely.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a few of them.
There's people out there, but, like, as a whole, Like, it's super diluted in comparison to some other industries where it's like, that guy, idiot, I don't want to be around him, you know?
I think it really comes down to the fact that we all are musicians and, you know, love music and stuff, and that's really the root of it all. So when it comes from, like, a love of something, and then we all sort of are a part of that, you know, it makes sense that we're all friends. It's not like we're all, like, cutthroat, you know?
Right. Well, I've heard of a lot of comparisons, and it's starting to make sense. Comparisons to the craft beer industry, like those guys seem to have a lot of the same kind of principles. And I almost wonder if it's, you know, the same thing where there's a lot of big like collaboration things that happen these days, and it seems to have kind of a similar, obviously on a bigger scale because there's more people that drink beer than play guitar, but
right.
There seems to be a similar trajectory with the market, you know, as far as, you know, the percentage of sales and blah, 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 blah. It just, there's a lot of similarities in the two. And, I think it might delve back into like being a creative type person.
Right.
I almost wonder if it has something to do with that mentality. I don't know.
Well, I think most entrepreneurs are creative people, so I mean that makes sense.
Yeah.
But quickly, speaking of craft brews, have you tried that new Sierra Nevada where it's made with like cactus like fruit or something like that?
No, I have not seen that.
Yo, it's really great. It's kind of like a it tastes like a sour apple almost.
Really?
I think it's like a sour lager they're labeling it as, but yo, next time you go to a bar or something and you see the new Sierra Nevadas, try it out, dude. It's great.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. They pretty much send everything everywhere these days. So it's,
yeah. I think they're closer to you, though. They're in California.
Yeah, they're really close. I think they actually have several breweries kind of spread out at this point.
Yeah, that
I can't remember
make sense.
If they have one really large brewery or if it's several spread out, but they have large distribution, so
yeah, they're doing it, dude.
I'll keep my eyes peeled. I've always liked a good classic torpedo, so
oh yeah, those are great too. I'll stick with the pale ales. Those are my favorite.
Yeah,
dude.
Is that
can't
your go-to,
go wrong.
You think?
Yeah. Well, if I look at a beer list at a bar, I'm just like, what is all this nonsense? And I'm like, oh yeah, pale ale. All right, I'll go with that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm the same way, but with Imperial Stouts.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of like everything, but like
that's... Not a huge stout guy.
It can be a polarizing thing. Some people just absolutely love them, and some people it's like, that's too much for me. Some people it's not enough. I need a double, quadruple Imperial Stout.
Yeah, dude. I know some people like that, for sure.
I kind of lean that way a little bit once in a while, but... Yeah, it's hard to do that all the time. You just get full and
oh yeah, dude.
Those are sippers. Those are what those are. And I'm
right. Yeah,
I'm
I like
down
that
with
phrase.
That.
It's a sipper.
It's a sipper. You just enjoy. Yeah.
I'm actually going to meet up with my art guy at a restaurant bar after we do this podcast. We're gonna do some art for some new pedals coming out this year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Can we talk about those?
Yeah, well, they're still kind of in development, but I'm doing a delay.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really figured out what I want on the tails yet. I'm also open to ideas. I know I want like an octave up function, and then maybe like a bit crush thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right.
But yeah, that'll come out. I want to say shortly after the whatever comes out at the end of this month.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I got going on? Oh,
that's
exciting. I got a buffer that I'm working on, which is sort of like, you know, your standard buffer, really small enclosure, but it's going to be run on 18 volts. So you plug in 9 volts, but then it gets converted to 18 within it. So you get more headroom and less distortion.
Cool.
And it'll also have an output with a switch, so you can select 9 or 18 volts output. Oh, cool. you don't lose a power jack from your Voodoo supply or whatever. It just goes right through, and you could step it up to 18 if you want to send it to like an overdrive or something.
That's really cool.
Yeah,
I like that a lot.
Yeah, so that's like a kind of like a utilitarian little tool.
I don't know if I've heard of that option on a buffer. Buffer.
Maybe that's what I'll name it, dude.
The buffer.
Oh man, that's great.
I don't know why my mouth decided that it was an old scratch CD there for a second, but
yeah, dude. I know those days.
That's really cool. I'm actually really interested in that because that just opens up possibilities and gives you, you know, that utility box that you need with the option with an extra 18 volt out, basically.
Yeah,
so that's rad.
Yeah, it's also not just a buffer too. It's going to be kind of like a boost, like an always on boost with a trimmer inside, so you can get like louder volumes if you want to send it through there. I don't know. It's still all like in the prototype staging, but it'll get worked out.
I like where your head's at with that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to, not make the same buffer over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm right on that edge where I'm getting dangerous with my electronics knowledge. I'm assuming you're using a charge pump of some variety.
Yeah, yes. You got it.
Sweet. And then it's powered by hamsters.
Yes, but not regular size hamster wheels. Like we're talking like monster truck size hamster wheels,
dude.
Yeah, you need a lot of torque with that.
You need how many hamsters do you think are required to run this particular buffer?
Yeah, I'd say at least one. I don't know.
With a large wheel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, we could even put a cheetah on there. The wheel would be big enough.
I see. So, it's like that leverage principle.
Yeah, exactly.
So the only one who will be able to use this buffer is somebody like Joe Bonamassa, who has a whole separate tour bus for the hamster wheel power supply.
Yeah, him and maybe the Edge. He would probably have something like that. I don't know who else would even have that. You know, sort of powering capabilities.
Well, you know, the ones who need it, they'll find it.
Yeah, you're right.
It's as analog as it gets, man.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I was just talking before with my buddy. I was like putting labels on stuff to ship out, and I was like pulling the tape, and he was like, dude, he's like, that's as analog as it gets, you know, pulling the tape and putting it on the package. I was like, yeah. Dude, straight analog tape right now.
Analog tape. There were no Pro Tools used in boxing those packages.
Yeah, dude, not at all. It's all analog.
Man, I love that.
Yeah.
It just feels more organic, you know?
Yeah, it does. You know, you find you get your package and it's like, wow, this guy, you know, he put a lot of time into this.
Right. And how much tape did you have to use to get that hamster wheel, though, properly boxed?
I'm embarrassed at the amount of tape I used for that.
The EPA is offended at your packaging costs right now.
Yeah, dude. Oh, man. I don't know if it's a problem or a gift that I can, like, sort of just riff on anything, like, conversation-wise. Like, give me something, and then I'll just, like, throw something back at you.
I don't know if it's a problem or a gift that my brain thinks of these things to even talk about.
Yeah, I don't think it's a problem at all.
It could be construed as a problem when you're attempting to run a guitar podcast and you only spend 20 minutes of the time talking about guitar-related things. Right. Yeah. The rest of the time you're talking about food, Bernie Sanders, hamster wheels, Christian killing people for stealing his enclosures. You know, it's just the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Well, it's pedal related in the sense that me and you are into guitar pedals, so that's true. How I'm thinking about it.
All right. So if we can just bring it home, everybody can make that connection in their mind. We like guitar pedals, and you should too.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we're just two guys. Yeah.
I'm totally just a guy.
Me too.
Nice. So we kind of went, I don't know, I don't even know if there's a way to really bring this back to guitars at this point.
Let's just do a hard cut.
Nah, we're not there yet. We're almost there, though. We're getting close. I think we can delve into something guitar related, which is this is actually very applicable to you, especially because you do a lot of studio stuff. When you do mostly recording, I assume, is that correct?
I mostly fix the broken stuff, but I've been starting to do more tracking.
Right.
But I don't do any of the mixing here, really. Okay. It's just like tracking, yeah.
Right. Well, I'm more thinking about when you yourself are making music, in this particular case. So what does your current rig look like, whether you're, you know, in studio doing your thing or out playing out if you ever get that opportunity, or what's your kind of go-to, I suppose?
Well, I don't play out as much as I used to, but there's like, we have a bunch of amps in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So I would set up my pedal board, and then I have like a parts of caster. And then I would usually go into the jazz chorus. We have an AC-15 here too. Sometimes I'll go into the Fender Deluxe that we have. Usually that champ that I built sits in the studio just to like test, or it sits in the tech shop just to test.
Yeah.
But yeah, recently I've been doing everything through the jazz chorus.
Nice.
Yeah, so I rock some Cameltone cables, and actually my pedal board is like in shambles right now, but I'll try and run through it real quick mentally.
Cool. That sounds familiar. I can really relate to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm always like pulling stuff off. I actually have to ship my board to South by Southwest on Thursday. I'm not going to be there, but my board will be there. Yeah.
I see. Interesting.
Yeah. But anyhow, I go into VP Junior, which I actually just got a buffer modded board from my friend from Chuck Pedals.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a board the other day. And that goes into, I have a Polytune, and then I have that goes to the tuner output. And then I have a Cameltone Nard, which is kind of like, I don't even know what it is. It's a great like booster, sort of like dirty boost, treble booster type of thing.
Okay.
That's great for just like pushing the jangle from my telly. And that goes into a Chase Bliss Womb Tone.
Mm.
The first revision of that.
Right.
And then that goes into sometimes the Fuzz Peaks, but I just put that Washburn chorus that I picked up for $20. I just put that after the phaser. And then that goes into the Fuzz Peaks. And then I used to have the first Glacial Zenith prototype on there, but I took it off. And then I have the Fuzz Peaks going into the Whateverb. And then the whatever going into a Ditto, and then that to the amp.
Cool. You did pretty good.
Yeah.
Like for you're piecing that from memory, that's pretty solid.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at all the pedals on the shelf right now, and I'm like, this one, and then this one. Yeah. But yeah. Not too crazy. Not too much overdrive. You know, I got phaser, chorus, reverb, fuzz, and then, you know, sort of like a booster overdrive.
That's a very interesting setup. I need to mess around. I have a lot of dirt and therefore do a lot of stacking with that. But and I just recently discovered that I really like phaser. And I'm starting to delve into that and wondering why I didn't before. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Dude, fuzz and phaser is like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah. And that's crazy. What I found. I just, because I love fuzz so much. I have a stupid amount of fuzz. And I started playing with the solid gold Apollo 2. And I can do a lot of neat tricks. And then I got an old Ross phase distortion.
Oh,
and
now, man.
And now I'm just like, I'm kind of wanting some more phaser.
So. Yes, dude. Yeah, phaser is really fun, especially when you like can get crazy with it, or you play in a band where it's like you are the ambient guitar player. Mm-hmm. That's when it's the most fun. That's sort of where I sit when we jam, like all the guys in the studio, guys and girl in the studio, we all jam sometimes, and that's sort of where I sit. I'm like more of the textural ambient guy.
That would be a fun place to be. I've never been in a band where that really applied, but when I'm just kind of jamming by myself, I do a lot of that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, it's so fun.
Good times. This reminds me, speaking of Rick Matthews again, he gave me the idea that I needed to try phaser in the effects loop of a delay. I haven't tried that yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah, dude, that sounds awesome, actually.
Mm-hmm. That's one thing I'm obsessed with, is putting things in the effects loop of delays. I just love doing that.
So it affects the tails? Is that the whole idea?
Yeah, it only affects the repeats.
Oh, word. Yeah. Dude, that sounds rad.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so much fun, and it opens up all kinds of weirdness that you can do.
Right.
Because, I mean, you can, like, take it and, like, have a whole nother loop. Like, I'll, like, do, like, an overdrive with a reverb on it, you know, and in that's only affecting the repeats, and then it gets mixed back with the dry signal and gets weird.
Dang. So. Yeah, that sounds great. When you said that, I was like, how can I do that? How can I do that on my delay? I'll figure it out.
I don't know. Well, you could definitely, like, I'm sure you being somebody who makes pedals could mod one if it doesn't have it, but not very many delays have it as a standard feature, and I don't really know why.
Right.
So
I guess people haven't really. I feel like the reason why things don't take off is because people don't understand how it works or why you should use it.
Right.
So so it's like that's the whole point. Demo videos exist. It's like you should use this, and I'm showing you how to use it. Yeah.
Maybe I need to blaze the trail for that, because I feel like I'm the only one talking about it sometimes.
Yeah, dude, yeah. You are the one who gave me that idea, I guess, like, indirectly from Rick, but, like, I hadn't even thought of that before at all.
Well, yeah, it was actually, like, something I was grilling him on. I'm like, I love doing this. And we were talking about, you know, effects loops in delays. What do you like to use in your effects loop? And he's like, oh, dude, phaser.
Oh, hell yeah.
So that is something I still haven't tried yet, but I'm like, oh, I have a phaser. Why have I not tried that?
Yeah, dude, do it.
We'll do. We'll report back.
Cool.
Nice, man. Good times.
Yeah, dude.
Well, we're right there at that that time. So do you want to I always like to have people kind of plug all their stuff at the end of the show. Where can everybody find you? On the interwebs or in real life?
Yeah. So in real life, you could find me at Wicked Squid Studios in Rochester, New York. On the interwebs, you can find me at adventurepedals.com. On Instagram, adventure_audio. Facebook is just Adventure Audio. I think that's really it. And, you know, if you want to send me some memes, we can be best friends.
There you go. Beautiful. Well, I will put all the your website in the show notes, and everybody can click through, check out all the good stuff.
Sweet. Cool, man.
The Whateverb might be out by the time this drops, but it's going to be really close, so watch for it either way.
Super
close. It's
going to
be really close. Yep.
Cool, man.
Because we already got the boxes back from that guy, and we won't tell him where that guy ended up.
Yeah, in the Genesee River, dude.
Oh, man. Good times.
Yeah.
I think we've done a couple firsts on this episode. I don't think we've actually talked about murder before, but now we've broken through that barrier. What's off limits at this point?
Hey, there's a first for everything, you know?
Right on, man.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's wrap this up. What do you say?
Yeah, all right. Sounds good.
All right. All right, everybody. So for Christian, I'm Blake. And as per usual, good luck and good tones.
Peace out, guy.
Later. All right, everybody. That does it for this week's episode. As always, thank you very much for tuning in. And if you just can't get enough of my rambling, head on over to your favorite podcast player, which you're probably in right now, and check out the latest Chasing Tone podcasts. That show is one of the reasons that I'm doing this today. I listened to that podcast, got inspired, and so it's quite a nice turn of events to have been asked to come on for a couple episodes, and I sit down with Brian, and we talk all kinds of nonsense, and actually I get into some good stuff here once in a while. So if you can't get enough of my ramblings, there's a place to go check out some more. And what else is new? Ah, yes, I'm going to be headed to Nashville in a couple weeks. So if there's anything I need to scope out while I'm down there, shoot me an email to info@tonemob.com or get in touch with me on Instagram, on the Facebook group, the Tone Mob Facebook group, Twitter, Snapchat, all those good places. Let me know about any Nashville stuff I need to go check out while I'm down there. So with that, I'll see you guys later and have a good week. One last thing before we totally sign off here. I just want to remind you that if you do any shopping at Stringjoy, that's Stringjoy Guitar Strings made in Nashville, that will help me out as well. As I've said for years, I'm heavily involved in that company, and I really do think they're making the best products on the market. So if you would like to try custom strings, go to tonemob.com/stringjoy and check them out today. I seriously love what the team down there is doing. I help them out with all kinds of things, and by you supporting them, you are also supporting me as well. And hey, you need some strings, so why not get some custom strings just for your guitar and playing style? Again, the link for that is tonemob.com/stringjoy, and that will take you right to their website, and you can do all your shopping through there, and that will help everyone involved out. So thank you very much. Talk to you next time. We are brought to you by the wonderful folks at Gun Street Wiring Shop. Yes, Gun Street Wiring Shop. I've talked about them before. I used to say based out of Bend, Oregon, but guess what? Sean moved to my neck of the woods. Sean's in Portland. Sean is awesome and has helped me with a bunch of stuff lately. And if you have wiring needs for your guitar, he can help you too. If you want to get weird with it, he can get weird. If you just need to spruce things up a little bit, there's your guy. He takes all the guesswork out of doing your guitar wiring, and he makes it simple, and his customer service is top-notch, and I can't say enough good things about Gun Street as a company. I really respect Sean and what he's all about, and the product is top-notch. I've got 3 different guitars that now have Gun Street harnesses in them, and I could not be happier. So go to GunStreetWiringShop.com and check them out.